Well, I don't know if you know as little about most technological things as I do, but even if you are ostensibly up on all this thing and you follow the trends and the advances and you pride yourself on, knowing the latest and the greatest when it comes to technology and computers and networking and all that sort of thing, it is so easy to fall behind today because at one time, technological knowledge was doubling every, I think, 18 months was the conventional wisdom. Now it's closer to 12 months, maybe even a little bit less than that. So it's nearly a full-time job keeping up with all of these things that can help us with our personal lives and our business and our social life and all that kind of thing. So we need to call in experts from time to time, and we thought that's what we do here this morning on Perspectives. And before we get underway, this is Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for joining us. And as always, our telephone number locally, 414-1234 in Tallahassee. It's 800-926-8809. If it's long distance, perspectives@wfsu.org is the email address, and our Twitter handle is @WFSUPerspective. Okay. Hope to hear from you in the course of the next 50-some minutes as we welcome members of the Tau Tech Alliance. And we'll tell you what that is in just a moment. But first, let's meet these guys. First off, Jason Stamm, who is over on my left, your right, as you look at the radio. He's partner at Go Beyond MCH and Less Utility. He also chairs the Tau Tech Alliance's Education Committee. He's chair of this year's Tech Expo event. More on that to come. And Jason has extensive knowledge of the regional technology market and education environment. Quite a write-up there. Jason, did you do that one? Or?
I did not. Yep. But it is very flattering. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Kevin Saunders is next up. Tau Tech's membership director, owner of Coda Gen X, a managed IT services company. Kevin works with businesses to provide complex network design, IT budgeting solutions, and innovative uses of technology. And Kevin, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And I guess we could call one of the, founding members of Tau Tech Alliance next up. Mark Paul, incoming Tau Tech chair, CEO of Paul Consulting Group, and he's an expert on IT in the public sector and has applied web-based technology to agencies, associations, universities, and others. The goal of increasing efficiency and saving money is always the biggie. So thanks for coming in, Mark.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And as long as we're in your neck of the woods here, how did this whole shebang Tau Tech Alliance thingy get started?
Well, I don't remember being a founding member, but as we sat down before your show started, Jason said, I think I'm one of the longest running board members. I think that's his diplomatic way of saying that I'm getting old. So I wasn't there for the beginning, but I think I've been around and on the board for about 8 or 9 years now. And there's no doubt from a simple standpoint that the Tau Tech Alliance mission is to bring together government, education, the public sector, and the private sector and get all of those different entities in Tallahassee working together. And really, Tau Tech is really predicated on education. And the undercurrent of Tau Tech, and as we'll learn later on in the show, the expo that Jason has always a major role in, and I'll give him some quick kudos because he does such a great job with it every year.
Fantastic job.
There's no doubt the foundation of that is based on education and getting the word out and keeping talent here in Tallahassee instead of having it leave.
Okay, because that has been a big bugaboo for this community since time immemorial that you have two major universities, a dynamite community college, great educational facilities that nurture some really, really sharp young people and some not so young people, many of whom then bail and go elsewhere and take that talent and expertise with them. So this is part of that mission too, to try to keep more of those folks around?
Yeah, without a doubt. There's so many. One of the things I noticed in our last expo was the concentration and the focus on ideas. Young people and a lot of people in Tallahassee, because there's so many educated people in Tallahassee, there's a lot of great ideas. And how do you turn those ideas into businesses? And how do you get the public sector, the private sector, and the educational sector working together in unison in a seamless fashion to cultivate those ideas into businesses that work for the whole community?
Okay, so as the education guru here, Jason Stahem, that's easy. That's all your thing. You just pull all those people together and get them yakking to each other and mission accomplished, right?
Oh, if it were just that easy. This is some really heavy lifting and probably one of the biggest challenges that we face, not as a community but as a society. And I won't go that broad, but with respect to our community here in Tallahassee and in Florida, technology education, STEM education, getting people prepared not just for the workforce but to be global citizens in a knowledge-based economy is a real challenge. As you said earlier, things double every 12 months. Well, how does the education sector keep up with that? We have enough trouble keeping up with it in the private sector, and we have complete autonomy to a degree over our businesses. And educators don't have that same luxury. They face a bigger challenge, and we're here to try to help them stay abreast of what is coming. And a lot of them attend the Tech Expo. We reach out to a lot of them. We sit on advisory boards in Leon County, Wakulla, and Gadsden. We've begun an initiative called the Capital Region Technology Education Summit. In December 2011, we kicked it off with a big meeting, about 45 representatives from education, the private sector, and community agencies such as Taltech members, the EDC, Workforce Plus, got together to identify some goals. What is it that we can do to connect our community way that education, the people benefit from technology education, and people can move seamlessly through that paradigm that Mark described. If they have ideas, they can either start them or be a part of them, and they can be a part of existing ideas as well. So like I said, this is a big – and like Mark said, this is a big aspect of the Taltech Alliance. We certainly – we're a volunteer organization, so it's we do as much as we can, and we try to be supportive of the institutions in the community.
Okay. Well, one of the biggest institutions in the community, of course, is the fact that we have state government and universities and all that kind of thing. And Kevin Saunders, when we look at those sorts of entities there, Taltech Alliance has to go beyond just, hey, boys and girls, here's some new software that you may want to check out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The educators are coming to us, and I think one of the big things at the Tech Expo was how do we teach our students what is going to happen next? And you know, that's a real great dilemma right there. How do you train a workforce in technology that is changing at maybe not a double rate but really at an exponential rate? You know, we're seeing this curve of mobility, the ability – I mean, how many cell phones, you know, and smartphones do we have out in the market now, clothing, you know, with the tablets? And I mean, 4 years ago, we didn't have that. So it's really growing at an exponential rate. So I think the problem for educators now is, you know, are we teaching our students how to fix computers? Are we teaching them, you know, how to restore a hard drive? Or are we teaching them how to network cell phones in, how to network? You know, where is that going? And that's a real dilemma that educators are trying to figure out. You know, virtualization is another hot topic in the IT industry that, you know, when it comes to security and those aspects, you know, you've got to be able to lock places down when you're talking about medical facilities or banks, or, you know, you don't want to lose your information. So how do educators teach their students about that security, how to lock it down, and what are the technologies that they need to be teaching their students? It's a dilemma, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's also a dilemma when you are up against what the demands of education have been, particularly in the public school system where the emphasis has been on standardized testing and certain core competencies that all the kids are supposed to have, and then you leverage in technology knowledge on top of that.
Right.
You know, when is there time to do that?
Exactly. And that is the dilemma, isn't it? It really is going to take, I think, exactly what Taltech's mission is, getting all these educators, you know, the businesses, the public sector, the government together on the same page. And, you know, you see a lot of pull in this direction, a pull in this direction. We all need to be on the same page. We all need to keep our talent in Tallahassee so that we can grow our community. And there's nothing better to me than to see someone from Tallahassee make it and go out and do something incredible. You know, I always think about the guy for some reason that invented the air conditioner, you know, and he's from where?
Apalachicola.
Absolutely.
I was just there on Monday.
Yeah, Apalachicola. So if there's that kind of talent in Apalachicola that could come up with that idea, what are we doing in Tallahassee? And I guess that's really everybody needs to get on the same page because we have that opportunity to put ourselves on the map other than maybe a football team.
Yeah, and given today's technology, you don't have to be in a major metropolitan center like a New York, a Chicago, a Los Angeles. You can be in a Tallahassee or an Apalachicola, Florida.
Absolutely.
Or a Crawfordville, Florida, and still be as productive and as plugged in as anybody else anywhere in the world.
Right, and it gets back to what I was saying. You got to be networked in. And the collaboration part of that, you know, I was reading an article where doctors are collaborating from, you know, all over the world trying to figure out one problem. Well, 20 years ago, that wasn't possible. You know, they'd have to send an email and they would have to read it in an email there. Now they're able to collaborate and, you know, whether it be SharePoint or whatever cloud service they use, and they can collaborate on problems and solve them, again, at an exponential rate. We're seeing this grow, and it's really exciting. But as Tallahassee, if we don't realize that we can do that, we're losing out.
Yeah, even some of the public forums that I've seen around Village Square specifically, they're using Skype to bring in people, speakers, subject matter experts from wherever.
Sure. I mean, I'll be in my family and I are going to Italy next week, and Shelby and I just made sure – I don't like to miss staff meetings on Monday morning. So I'll Skype in, and all they'll do is they'll put a computer at the head of the conference table where I usually sit Monday mornings, and it'll just be my face. But I'll be hopefully looking at the Vatican while I'm having a staff meeting via Skype. And so when I travel, we Skype a lot because technology transcends all industries, and you don't actually have to be in the office. That's one of the cool things about technology.
Yeah. They're even doing cloud-based phones now where you can literally take a, you know, a Cisco phone or a Polycom phone.
Kind of like your phone, Tom.
Yeah.
It's state-of-the-art there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look at this thing. Look at that thing.
It's look, just because it's coal-powered.
Hold
now,
that up
guys,
to the microphone so people can see it. Yeah, that's a StarTech flip phone, isn't it?
Yeah, buddy. This is – well, I love tradition, guys. So yeah. Although I will say something for the old school tradition here, this one actually survived an entire day in a rain puddle.
It looks sturdy.
And I dried it out and
shows,
it worked.
Shows, the new phones won't do that.
Tell me about it. 414-1234 for Perspectives. Members of the Taltech Alliance are here with us. We'll come back and take your calls and emails in just a moment. Keep flashing back to Airplane 2 where Bill Shatner was in that one control room and a subordinate is saying, but sir, the lights keep blinking out of sequence. And he says, well, make them blink in sequence. And that's kind of where our technology is here today as we yak with folks from the Taltech Alliance right here on Perspectives. 414-1234-800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org. Jason Stamm, you had some kudos and way to goes to throw out there.
Absolutely. The one of the subjects that we had discussed in the previous segment was talent in Tallahassee. And as part of the Tech Expo, we try to bring in new ideas and things that other people are working on. And there's an emerging group that is really getting their strategy together called Talent Lives Here, TLH. It's a really good brand name. I like it a lot. We had two speakers from Talent Lives Here, Jay Revelle and Andrew Gay, spoke at Tech Expo. We got a great response from them. It's something that a lot of people are passionate about. And I unfortunately did not bring any URL or web information, but I'm sure that if somebody were to type in Talent Lives Here, TLH, in Google, Bing, or whatever your preferred search mechanism is, you'd probably get a lot more information. And if it's something that you are also if anybody is actually also concerned about or passionate about, I encourage you to reach out and get involved in that.
Talent, and it lives here, TLH. I like that. I really do.
Brilliant brand.
Yeah, let's go to the phones, talk to a brilliant musician here. Hey, Reed, welcome to Perspectives. How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
I can't yell too much. Well, we're talking about technology, and as a musician, you certainly know that technology has done an awful lot to totally revolutionize that little aspect of life, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, in a lot of cases, Tom, it has. However, I'm one of these guys that still runs right through the PA, you know. the digital effects and I have not melded yet. But, you know, I'm still doing James Taylor, so it doesn't really matter. But I am concerned, Tom, that, you know, you guys talked about how important this was in the realm of education.
Yeah.
I've been doing narration at Learning Systems Institute for STEM presentations for teachers.
Wonderful.
And a lot of what I narrate is just basic computer skills. In other words, here's the presentation for the teacher. This teaches you how to upload something. This teaches you how to copy and paste. My concern here is where's the focus on teaching the teachers this technology as it changes? Because once they're in the classroom and the standards change and the means by which they have to achieve the standards change, there doesn't seem to be the corresponding emphasis or resources available for them to learn how to do that.
Yeah, and with all the changes that are even kicking off here coming up in the fall with core curriculum and all that kind of thing, Reed, yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Exactly. So how would Caltech address that?
Boy, that's a good question. Guys, what do you think? Jason?
Well, Reed, not to throw a pun out at you, but you are singing my song here. Keeping the educators educated and apprised is something that we are really passionate about. As you've been working in the schools, I'm sure that you've noticed that and become very aware of the constraints that teachers are under as faculty and administration. We have a state regulatory system. There are innovative but cumbersome technology education requirements in the state, in the county. Those are big barriers to flexibility, the kind of flexibility and of instruction that you're addressing, and how quickly things are moving. I applaud you for getting out there and implementing innovative ways to supply teachers and students with this kind of access to technology education. And you can feel free to email me at education@taltech.org, and maybe we can talk a little bit more offline about what it is that you're doing and how we might be able to get it into some of the schools in the area.
Okay, great. Mark Paul, your turn.
Yeah, and over the years, Jason has worked, because he's the education chair of Taltech, he has worked with teachers to have high school students come out to our various businesses and shadow us at our technology businesses. So for the last several years, he's had an intern. Well, we call them really, they're just students. They're high school students. And for a day at Paul Consulting Group, he or she would shadow one of my analysts or public relations. And then they sit with me for an hour or two, and they ask me questions about what it's like to run a technology business and what are the things that I've learned. And I share some tips with them. And then they go back to their classrooms, and then they give a report to their teachers about the things that they've learned. So again, bridging that gap with the Taltech Alliance and Education has been really is the foundation of what the Alliance is about. And again, it is all volunteers, and I think that has worked well.
What can you do even at the collegiate level, though, because you do have a certain number of course credits that are required for teacher certification in Florida? And, you know, all states have their own standards, of course, when it comes to that. But try to build in some of that awareness as part of this is another tool that all teachers need.
Well, the education institutions in Tallahassee are big supporters and members of the Taltech Alliance. Florida State University. Most of the colleges that are technology related participate in the Taltech Alliance, as does FAMU, the business school, and the CIS department. Tallahassee Community College, of course, Kaiser University, ITT Tech. I really hope Lively Technical Center at the at the K-12 as well. All are supporters, paying members of Taltech Alliance, and so they're invested in it. They're able to send people to our monthly programs to get to network with other technology professionals, find out a little bit more about what they can arrange that's more custom for their programs, and just providing that kind of marketplace for opportunity to learn and network for the educators, and we learn a lot as well. A lot of innovation comes out of the education institution. So what's emerging, we want to know that as well. It's a mutually beneficial arrangement. And so the education institutions at the higher ed level in particular and the career and technical education, they're already motivated and reaching out. And it really does make it easier for us.
And that's a good segue to plug the regular meeting. In addition to Tech Expo and the other special events, Taltech Alliance has you also have a regular meeting that people can pop in and kind of sample what the organization's all about and decide whether or not they want to hook up.
Absolutely. We have one coming up June 19th. It's a barbecue. It'll be at Capital City Country Club. I believe we started about 5:30, go to about 7:30. It's kind of a family-friendly environment, but a great opportunity for any of the listeners out there to, you know, stop in and see what Taltech's all about and try to understand our mission. And we love more people, the better. You know, we sometimes get that a lot of technology companies that want to come to the Taltech. But, I mean, this is about all businesses, and this is about all the people in Tallahassee. And we'd love for anyone to come out and just see what is available to them. And it's a great opportunity.
In case you're just joining us here on Perspectives, we're talking with members of the Taltech Alliance today, Jason Stamm, Mark Paul, Kevin Saunders, and, of course, your calls and emails and such, 414-1234-800-926-8809. George has been patiently hanging on the line. Good to talk to you again. George, how you doing?
Oh, same here, Tom. I'm doing fine. I just wanted to know how familiar your panel is with the JAWS, the Dragon, the U-Siri, and some of the other voice programs that have become available to people like myself who are visually impaired.
We do have part of our membership. I think it's Disability Rights Florida. We do programs occasionally on assistive technology, like what you're talking about. We work with other organizations in the in the area, Ability First. The other one is escaping my mind because I don't work directly with them. I apologize, George. But these new innovations in assistive technology are quite remarkable. And as employers, most of the three of us sitting here are employers. We stay abreast of that kind of compliance, those complying with assistive technology innovations and requirements. And the programs that you mentioned are some of the newer, as far as I remember, some of the newer innovations in that area. And while we are, I'm astounded at how fast assistive technology is developing, especially with a lot of the artificial intelligence that's being incorporated into it. So,
yeah, George, do you remember when voice recognition software first emerged?
And I remember the first computer I had was a Texas Instruments computer that I bought in 1982, and I used to use it to access the mainframe at first at Florida International University, where I mistakenly went, and then here at FSU when they had the cyber. And now at my work, about 2 years ago, they got me a computer with the JAWS program, and I'm able to do emails and some other things. There's obviously a lot of other things that I'd like to do, and I even wanted to try the Dragon system, but there's a third program that you need to allow both Dragon and JAWS to work together that no one at FSU at this time has.
Okay, that sounds like a challenge here maybe that some folks can work on, huh?
I'd keep my eye on the College of Education for something like that. We see a lot of those assistive innovations coming out of the education environment in particular at the here's another plug for one of our colleagues, the FSU Digitech Showcase that happens at the end of March. The College of Education has a big aspect of that exhibit that day. I found some pretty remarkable assistive innovations there that day as well, mostly geared towards childhood development. But also I think that we're going to see academia solving a lot of those problems because they are the first ones to deal with those challenges for young people.
Guys, let me go around the table here for a second. I remember because George had mentioned, you know, back in the 80s when things were starting to break open as far as digital style technology was concerned. The big, mecca for the city of Tallahassee back then, God, Bob Graham was governor. Gee whiz, dating myself here. Austin, Texas. That you had
sister city.
Yeah, exactly. And we had so many technological corporations, Motorola and Texas Instruments and MCC and all these other firms that had made that their headquarters. And in poor little Tallahassee, we're going, gosh, why can't we be technologically savvy and advanced like Austin, Texas? How are we doing today in comparison to other cities, and particularly capital cities of this size? Behind the curve, ahead of it, where?
I would say we're
probably – We'll put Kevin on the spot.
Yeah.
We all looked at him.
I would say we're probably a little behind the curve when it comes to that. It's a change thing. You know, do you want to change? Do you really want to be that city that brings in the – you know, the STEM, the science, the technology, the engineering, the mathematics? Do you want to base your community on that? I think Flagstaff is a great city to look at when you're talking about STEM and what they've done. They are becoming that Austin, Texas. Charlotte even Chattanooga, Tennessee are a couple of other cities that are really ahead of the curve when it comes to that. But these are cities that are willing to pay to bring these people in. You know, Florida has a great – we have no state tax. So we should be able – Texas has no state tax. That's why Austin's doing what they're doing. They're bringing these people in, luring them in because, hey, look, you're not going to have to pay this. You're not going to have to pay that. Until we decide that's what we really want as Tallahassee, we'll never be that. We're a little behind the curve, in my opinion, only because we're reluctant to be that city. Once we decide that – you know, hey, we get everybody on the same page. Again, the educators, you know, Taltech, it doesn't matter who it is. Once we get on the same page and all decide that this is what we want as Tallahassee, we will become that city. But just talking about it's not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I think we've made great strides and a lot of progress in the last few years. There's no doubt that the chamber has been heavily involved with Taltech, and we sit on a roundtable with them. There's been a lot of talented people that have volunteered in Taltech over the years, and we've incorporated what I love about the expo and what I love about technology, and all of us have been in technology for a long time. Going back to George's comment also is that technology transcends not only all industries but almost all age groups, I think Tallahassee in general, all of the various industries, whether that be the public sector, the private sector, the educational sector, you get the feeling that we're all starting to come together more and concentrate on keeping the talent here and making Tallahassee a more technologically better place to live.
But is it by necessity or is it because, you know, hey, this is what this city's doing or this is what this city's doing? And that's what I wonder, you know.
That's a good question.
I'd be remiss if I didn't throw in the Imagine Tallahassee seminars that happened last week, I believe,
that's
early
right.
last week.
That's right.
I attended both of those, and it seems as though I can agree with what Mark is saying, that it's – that everybody is starting to get on the same page that they want something.
Right.
But yet to be defined what that is. Do we want to be in Austin?
And exactly. And that's why I say that we're still probably a little behind the curve in that people are still asking the question, do we want to be that? You've got cities out there that have already answered that question. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to be. They're moving forward. I mean, we don't even have to look as far as Gainesville and what they're doing down there. It's really interesting. And really what it comes down to is let's quit talking and let's get to work, right?
Yeah, because I recall at one point and again, this was back in the 90s because I was working for the phone company back then and they had just put in a fiber ring around the city and this was all super-duper high-tech whiz-bang stuff. And one of the marketing phrases for this whole thing was that because of state government and our – higher educational institutions, about one half of Florida's computer power was located within Capital Circle. I remember writing that, and I was relying on the technical guys. You know, is this true? And they were saying, "Oh yeah." You know, so we got all these computers here, and even Miami doesn't have as much of a concentration of that. Is that still true? And is that a way to maybe use that as a launching pad for something bigger?
I'm going to go with I don't think that's still true. We don't have any major private sector data centers here in Tallahassee. So I think that's a pretty big trump card in the computing power.
And you look at the cloud services. I mean, that's really revolutionizing our industry right now. You know, people – it's so funny. You know, you talk about going back. Well, aren't we going back to the mainframes, you know, where these giant mainframes live in a building that's extra secured that you have to have retina scans to get into. And that's where your computing power lives. Most of the stuff that is on your cell phones, you're just in the cloud and you're usually computing on a server that's somewhere else. You're not actually computing on your phone. So that's kind of where it's going, and it's interesting. It's really cool stuff.
I'll say this though, Jason. I think Paul Watts over at ElectroNet does a great job with the data center.
Absolutely.
All of our servers are there, and the establishment they've put together, that building with all of the computers and all of the
hands down to ElectroNet.
Fantastic
without,
job.
Without them, Tallahassee would not even be on the map, in my opinion.
Caltech Alliance is what we're talking about today, and three individuals who are connected therein as we continue Perspectives right after a short break. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Yes, technology is taking over everything. I love the new General Electric commercial that has Agent Smith from The Matrix, you know, in the hospital. That is – and there's something really disturbing about that commercial. I don't know why. I see software that intrigues me. And I think, oh, man. I'm afraid I'm going to get it right between the eyes with some kind of a high-tech weapon or something. Let's go back to the phones here on Perspectives. Hey, Patrick, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you.
Patrick, if he said your name was Neo, I was really going to bow down.
I'm sorry?
If he would have said you were Neo next on the line with the Matrix, I would have believed it.
I wish it was Neo. Be a lot more cool superpowers. But thank you guys for taking my call. I just wanted to reach out to you because I work for a local company called The Bean Team. And, you know, we're proud participants in the Caltech Alliance and go to many of your events.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate the services you all provide. But another thing I've noticed as we do our staffing services is that many mature workers in our community lack the technology skills that we need. And oftentimes people we serve in other businesses we're trying to recruit for, they want a mature worker who has all the up-to-date technology skills. Your knowledge, are there resources in the community that are available to businesses and individuals that can help address that need?
I think there's quite a few. You know, I might look at maybe the Jim Moran Institute. I know they're trying to do something like that. And I think what you're getting at is the incubator program so that we can really train these students with hands-on training that when they go into a workforce, they have some sort of experience in doing that. That is a mind scratcher right there. And how do you, again, we're talking about technology changing at an alarming rate. And if you're using the SaaS services and you're doing that kind of thing, you know, you're seeing it yourself. It's just changing so fast that, you know, how do you teach students to actually learn how to work on that when 2 years ago it didn't work the same way as it works now?
With respect to adult education, I think that some of our local institutions do a really good job of that. Tallahassee Community Colleges has their Tech at Night program, and I'm sure it's evolved already. And they're constantly working on it and keeping it up to date for instructional classes for fees. And Lively Technical Center is also really good with respects to keeping the latest release available, the education on the latest release of a software or methodology available. I think that both Kaiser University and ITT Tech also do really well for AA and 2-year and sometimes 4-year degrees as well for the working professional who wants to improve their technologically savvy.
This has to go beyond, I guess, what I see at the Tallahassee Senior Center, where they have those, you know, tech classes. Sure. For folks. You know, here's how you set up a Facebook page or something like that.
Oh, it goes way beyond that. We're talking about SQL Server reporting administration. Lively is offering things that advanced. Over at Kaiser University, they're working on the latest cybersecurity curriculum. ITT Tech is really innovative with how they provide education on advanced networking methodology and infrastructure. I'm just cherry picking different things that I know about that each one does. And then there's also the free stuff online, the non-accredited free information. This isn't even just in Tallahassee. This is globally. Anybody who can get online can get the knowledge.
That's right.
And Kevin brought up the incubator. It's an easy word to say.
Sure.
It's a hard thing to implement.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're a business owner out there and you're listening, I encourage you to utilize the internship programs at both FSU and TCC. We've used them for years. It's not easy to bring in an intern. You have to spend a great deal of time with them, or another employee has to spend a great deal of time with them. But there's no doubt – many of the interns that we've hired over the years, I'd say it's – I don't know the exact number, but it's a high percentage of them that after they work with us for 3 or 4 months, they're usually a senior, and we often offer them jobs, salaried, full benefit jobs. Another way of keeping the talent in, another way of the public and private working together in collaboration.
It's a great concept of an internship instead of just kind of handing off the scut work to them because it's a free employee.
No, and you can't do that. You're exactly right, Tom. You've got to structure that internship long before they get there so that you know that they're going to get something valuable out of it. As a matter of fact, I think it's more important that they get something value out of it as much I'll stand by that. It's more important that the student gets value out of it than the employer does, because after that internship is over, then the employer starts to get value from that intern once they hire them.
That's very well said, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to line 3. That's where Amy awaits. Hi, Amy. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi. I'm a volunteer at the Leon County Public Library, and I wondered if you all do work with the library, because for a lot of people who come in to our branch, that is their access to technology, to computers. And they're always asking us questions about things, and it seems like there is an opportunity there for a big slice of people, various different ages, who want to learn about technology but don't have the means to have it in their own home.
I think that's a great, great point. I'll tell you what, you can email me at taltech@codagenix.com, CODAGENX, and I will answer that off air. That's a great opportunity. I think you're onto something there, because libraries do give people access to the internet so that they can network themselves in. You look at the jobless rate, and if you want to get a job these days, you've got to go online. You've got to fill out an application. You've got to be able to access some sort of technology. So I think what you're saying, Amy, is absolutely correct, that someone needs to look at the libraries, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that.
Yeah, if you even need to qualify for unemployment compensation, you have to go online.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that's different, too. And I notice that the Leon County Public Libraries have upped their firepower when it comes to particularly hardware. Now they have laptops in addition to the desktops that they had for so many years. They've been upgrading those sorts of things. And the number of people who, as Amy said, use the libraries as a primary connection via the internet to the big wide world. You know, it's not just homeless folks who come wandering in and, you know, hope to surf for porn. It is not that at all. Every now and then you get one or two of those. I used to volunteer down at the main library branch, but a vast majority of folks are, you know, grown-ups looking for work or hoping to find out just information that they're looking for, and tons of students. It's remarkable.
And it's like Jason was saying earlier, you know, you have so much access to learning technology as long as you're connected. This is an opportunity for people that don't know technology, if they can get connected through a library, take a couple of online classes that are free, you know, learn more of what's going on.
Yeah, and there's no doubt there's a digital divide between income levels and lower income levels. And I guess you're right, Jason. I have been on the board a long time. How many years ago was it that Taltech Alliance worked with I guess it was Dell and NIMS Middle School and put over 100 computers in NIMS? Is that correct?
That was 2007 to 2009 that we implemented that Digital Harmony program at NIMS Middle School. That was a highly coordinated effort.
And you made me unload all the doggone computers from the truck.
We did.
That's the most thing I remember about it.
What we encountered in that endeavor was we came face-to-face, Taltech as an organization and really as a community, we came face-to-face with the digital divide. What we learned is that it's not just technology, that to get be inclusive in the access to technology is far beyond just putting a computer and internet access or some kind of device in front of somebody. We ran into issues of sanitation, electric power access,
wow.
Financial ability to even support an environment conducive to computing. The digital divide is not an easy
– it is
no
complicated.
Magic pill. And we gave it a really good shot and we learned a lot from that endeavor. And what we learned is not to give up, but that it's not that easy and it's not just about technology.
And with more and more personal computing now being done, not on my phone, of course, but on most phones, what does that have to do with transforming the entire landscape when it comes to this sort of thing? Will that help to break down the digital divide? Because now we have in our hands computers that are more powerful than, you know, even a very sophisticated desktop of 10 years ago.
That's right. I think even the space shuttle.
Yeah, well, your car has more computing power than the space shuttle.
I think that the more we not just in Tallahassee, but more the more that we in the marketplace use cheap platforms like and open platforms like Twitter and Facebook and other texting platforms that can reach people that have maybe just a phone like yours, Tom, but that's their access to technology. So they're not going to they can't open up their Samsung Ultrabook and open up a browser with a high speed internet connection and do whatever they want. If they're going to have access to the information, it has to be pushed to them in a format that they can receive. Well, and that's about as close as we are right now.
And hence, again, we get back to the cloud computing, you know, where you're able to do more. You know, you can subscribe to services instead of buying a giant server that cost you $25,000 as a business. Now you can just subscribe to a service and pay them $20 a month, $25 a month. And so we're seeing that digital divide probably go away a little bit more because of the cloud services, because now, you know, I can subscribe to something as opposed to having to buy the software. Microsoft Office is a great example. You used to pay, what, $200 for a copy of that. Mm-hmm. Now you can go get it for $5 a month, you know, and you have the full suite.
And so, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. And my compliments to listeners like Amy. It was Amy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That have great ideas that work in the public sector. You know, we encourage them. We have monthly, like Seven said, we have monthly meetings. Bring those ideas to the Taltech
Absolutely.
Alliance. How can we implement things mm-hmm. like that to bridge that digital divide for those people that really need it?
Well, Mark Paul, while we're talking about the public sector here, that has been a big challenge in Tallahassee since the advent of the computer, was with all of the state government agencies that we have here trying to get everyone on even a similar platform where the computers can talk to each other. How are we doing there?
Well, wasn't it just last month we had all the CIOs in for a roundtable on how best the public sector can work together with the private sector? I mean, that was just last week, and that was extremely valuable because, again, you had all of these high – these people are busy, and they volunteered their time to come in and discuss what works best for people to deliver services – for the private sector to deliver services to the public sector.
Because it's all becoming interconnected. You no longer have – like you were saying, Kevin, right. Those mainframes with their discrete databases. Everything's hooked together now.
That's right.
More stuff's hooked together than you probably want to know.
You're exactly right.
You're scaring me again.
Well, I mean, I was it's just a funny story. I got a new smartphone. It's just like yours, Tom.
Yeah.
And when I got it, because my other one got wet and it didn't work, unlike yours. And all of a sudden, about a week later, all my photos started showing back up that I'd taken over the years. And how did that work? Well, Google. By your default, stores all of those photos, stores everything on your phone on a backup server. I would say without your knowledge, but by default, it says, do you want to back up everything on your phone to a Google Cloud server? And unless you turn that off
– it will.
It will, and it does. Mm-hmm. And for me, I didn't have any inappropriate photos, fortunately, and all my photos came back, and I thought that was the coolest thing.
Oh, that is word to the wise again. Nothing that you do on a computer ever dies.
Not completely. On the internet.
No. And you talked about cross-platform and how it all works together. I've got – on my phone, I've got a Droid phone that I have a Microsoft Exchange Server app on it. Now, that syncs together quite well. So anytime that I put a number in – it's amazing. I could put a number into my Google phone. I go home and I go to my email, and there I can find that contact right there because it knows from my phone to copy that contact over to the Exchange server. So things are starting to work together. I think we're seeing that, you know, that cross-platform is going to work. It's just who's going to lead the way.
In the 4 minutes or so we have left here, again with you, Kevin Saunders, what do you see ahead for Talent Tech Alliance? Where do you guys want to go?
Where do we want to go? Well, I think we just want to continue our mission. We want to do more for the community. We really want to bring, again, the educators, the government, the businesses together, try to give us all a place that, you know, not only can we learn about the new technologies, but, you know, we can – create economic growth and really, really try to be a force in Tallahassee to help this community retain talent and continue down that path.
Okay, your thoughts, Mark Paul.
Mine are real simple, Tom. The vision has not changed in over a decade for Taltech Alliance. The vision from the founding fathers was that they wanted Taltech Alliance and the surrounding areas to be Florida's capital for technology. And that hasn't changed.
It blends right into the mission statement, which was up and running from the very beginning of the organization then.
Yes, sir.
And since, Jason Stamm, you have the educational component kind of in your bailiwick there, how do you want to see that expand and grow beyond Tech Expo and the other events that you already do?
Well, those are our early efforts, the programs and Tech Expo. We do see Tech Expo is being a means to reach out to connect to more members of the community. The Amy with the library, I would love to see her at Tech Expo and at our monthly programs. We don't know how to find everybody. We're, like I said, we're a volunteer organization. We rely on volunteer services.
We're
from
not getting
our
paid
members.
For this.
No. I gotta go, guys.
And while we are technology business owners, we are motivated.
Absolutely.
And we also are technology professionals, so we know how to find things. Not everybody has the advent of technology being their jobs. So it's not as easy or as intuitive for them to find out about technology. In Taltech, we're doing what we do for a living just in a volunteer capacity. And the rest of the community who's not doing that it's harder to reach them. And so this is excellent to be on programs like Perspectives.
Yeah, Tom, we can't thank you enough for having us on your show.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's so exciting because this is another facet of this community that can truly be transformative. Yeah. And regardless of what you want this city or this region to be ultimately, this is another option. And this is another resource you can pull from. Say, hey, we'd like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And eventually you come up with a very unique, as which we already are, but an even more unique and desirable place to hang out.
We'd love to have you at the barbecue. Why don't you come on out?
It sounds delicious. If food is involved, I can certainly be there.
We can arrange that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, guys, it has been a real pleasure. Kevin Saunders, Mark Paul, and Jason Stamm, of course, all members of Taltech Alliance. Guys, thanks so much. And we'll catch you at the barbecue. And don't forget the weekly meeting, too. Oh, website.
www.taltech.org.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox back there behind the glass, along with Lydell Rawls handling those phone calls and online connectivity for us. I'm Tom Flanagan. Hope you can join us for Perspectives next week. We're going to be exploring the ways that art has the power to transform the lives of people with intellectual disabilities. I'll be coming up. We'll see you then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.